Is he alive in you? That's the question. Is he really alive to you and in you? I remember being in the Philippines in 1993. I learned a song that goes like this. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Those old Filipinos, they'd sing it like this. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah. I'm still hearing them echoing all throughout that wonderful place in the Philippines. Tell me, is Jesus really alive in your heart? I want you to look up at the screen. And we had the privilege less than a year ago to go for the very place where they suspected the Lord Jesus' body was placed in a tomb. It was over in Jerusalem, over in that area. And, you know, it was a place where we had to walk in and stoop down. It was a line of people as we were getting ready to walk into the very place that's believed to have been where they placed the body of Jesus. Beautiful flowers lined up and down the roads. That is, these red and yellow flowers. So you're looking at the screen, if you would please. Bring that up, please, Katie, on the screen. If we have it, I think it should be there. The video.
Notice they're not in a bone.
I want you to look at this tomb. Look very closely now. Don't miss it.
Jesus
look
said,
very closely.
Dead, but
it's just a less than a few
and
seconds.
Hold the keys to
I'm walking in here.
The first church.
There's about 10 people in here. We're squeezed in there. And people are taking pictures.
They're not.
And it's just a,
notice,
needless to say, a scene
no
that's a Kodak
Jesus
moment.
Said, I was dead, but I'm alive.
I want you to look very closely
and hold the keys
in
to
this
death and hell.
Tomb.
The first church. We serve a risen Savior.
I'll tell you what.
Notice.
I'm talking in the background. You can. I'm not a professional photographer, obviously, but you can see what I saw. And you know what I discovered? I didn't see any bones in the grave. There was no body in the grave. No bones are in the grave. It was empty, folks. I witnessed that Jesus wasn't there. He's risen from the grave. He's alive forevermore. He lives today. He lives in us. He lives through us. He lives unto us. We serve a risen Savior. I can't say that about Buddha. I can't say that about Muhammad. I can't say that about Confucius. But I can say without hesitation or reservation, we serve a God that's not dead. He's alive. And if your God's not alive, you need to get rid of him and come to the God of the Bible. Our Redeemer lives. He reigns. He rules. And praise God, he's living in us now. Amen. And amen. And amen. And amen. And glory. What a great God we serve. But you know what? Speaking of living and speaking of rising from the dead, Paul wrote a futuristic passage concerning taking off this mortality and putting on immortality. He likened it unto taking off our clothes, as it were, and getting a wonderful glorified body. How many are looking forward to a glorified body one day? But you know what? I got to tell you something that happened to me. I was on my way to go speak to preach to some junior high school and high school students a few days ago. It was early in the morning and it was dark. I got in my car and headed out and I heard this flapping noise on the outside of the car. I kept hearing something that sounded like it was flapping in the wind. I couldn't figure out what it was. It was dark And finally, after driving probably 5 miles or so, I saw cars riding by, and it looked like they were looking on my passenger side of my mirror. God be my witness, I finally stopped, and you're never going to believe what was hanging on my mirror. My underwear. God be my witness. Y'all listen to me. The people riding by, they say, I knew the preacher was crazy, but now I really know he's crazy, all right? But I don't know how it happened. Evidently, Deanna had gotten the clothes out of the dryer. I parked my car in the carport, and it's never happened before, and I pray God it'll never happen again, amen? I pray God it'll never happen again. The moral of the story, don't leave home without your underwear, all right? Hey, look, Jesus is alive. He's alive. That's a true story, by the way. But wait a minute. I want to tell you today, he's alive forevermore. And you know what? Hey, look, how many want to know this question? How can we stay encouraged in a discouraging world? Don't you want to know that? Why, some of us today, we've been discouraged for a long time. And I want you to know, because Jesus is alive, we can stay encouraged. But wait a minute, there's another question that I want to propose to you today. Not only how can we stay encouraged, but number two, where can we find peace and assurance? Where can we find peace and assurance? Can I tell you today, you can't find peace and assurance in a bottle. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can't find peace and assurance in a pill. No, I'll tell you what, if you've not tasted the Most High, you need to get to the Most High. Jesus Christ is the one that changes our life. He's the one that brings peace in a troubled world. He's the one that gives us assurance to know that absent from the body is present with the Lord. He's the one that saves us. He's the one that loves us. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that rose again. He's the one that's coming back for us. He's the one we're going to spend all eternity with. Jesus is all. He's the one, the peace giver, the mountain mover, the grave robber, the promise keeper, the giant killer. He's the calm stormer. He's the need meter. He's the one that we need to look to today. Look to Jesus right now. He's the one we need. Amen. And amen and amen. Look to him now. Look to him now. Are you looking to him now? Trust in him now. Somebody, you have never by faith received God's unspeakable gift, but today is the day of salvation. I wanted to ask you another question. When are we going to get bold about telling other people about Jesus? When are we going to be unashamed of sharing the good news? Are we going to go and tell today? Like the grave, when the disciples came, the angel said, "He's not here. He's risen. Go and tell." Well, I say to you today, why not today? Why not today get things right with God? I can think of a better time to get things right with God today. Get those sins under the blood of Jesus today. Get that relationship back like it ought to be today. Forgive that individual. Ask God to bring security into your life today. Put away that worry. Put away that stress. Put away that depression. And do business with God. And I want you to know you'll be happy you did it. Here's where we're going in the message today. Alive forevermore. We're going at least four steps, I believe, that the Lord put in my heart to share with you today. How this resurrected Lord can be alive in your life today. What good does it do if we don't not only believe in the resurrection, but allow this living Lord to take control of our life? Can I tell you something? Number one, we can let the Lord come alive in our life by, number one, by understanding it's by his resurrection. It's by the Lord Jesus' resurrection whereby we come alive. I'm looking at some of you today, and I love you, but I got to tell you this. Some of you need to get a life. You need to get a life. Look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, you need to get a life. You need to get a life." Why, if you saw what I saw, it looks like some folks have been weaned on a pickle, amen? And we walk around discouraged and we walk around defeated. Y'all hear me real good. The world doesn't seem to see you defeated, down, discouraged, down. I know at times we get there, but the world does not need to see a God that's not alive. The world needs to see that our God lives Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. It's just not on Sunday. It's every day of the week. It's 7 days a week. It's 24 hours a day. Jesus lives in us. Jesus lives through us. Jesus is all about him. And may God help us to go after we leave today and show the world my Redeemer lives. Amen. And amen and amen. He's a living God. Oh, he's not in the tomb anymore. He's not hanging on a cross. You need to take him off the cross. You need to get him out of that grave. Let him loose. Let him be in you. Is Jesus really alive? Is he with you every day? Well, there's a second a second step that I believe the Lord shows us in His Word. Not only that by His resurrection does it come alive, but number two, through His resurrection and His resurrection power, Jesus comes alive. Number three, unto His resurrection power. When we look to Him, He comes alive. And then finally, if we have time, with the resurrected Lord Jesus. Take that copy of God's Word. I hope you brought it today. The book of the Apocalypse. That is the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Turn there, please, with me. And if you would, stand to your feet as we read the wonderful, infallible, inerrant, unbreakable, eternal Word that's forever set in heaven. In the book of Revelation chapter 1, you're well aware of the fact John is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. One of only of the 11 disciples. I'm not including Judas that did not die martyr. His death, although he was thrown in a pot of Caldron boiling oil only to escape his life and exile on the Isle of Patmos. The year is about 95 AD. I do not adhere to some early date of the writing of this wonderful book, namely the book of Revelation. Some say it was before 70 AD. However, there is no indication because the temple had already been destroyed. And yet we come to this wonderful word in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Here's the word of God, the revelation. The word revelation is the apocalypse. That means that uncovering. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record or witness of the word of God and of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Mark verse 5. Here's where we're going. Look at verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn and the first begotten of the dead. That word first begotten is the word prototokos. It means one who has conquered this thing called death and many are to follow. Prototokos, the first begotten of the dead. Others had died and had come back to life, but they died again. But Jesus did not die again. I tell you today, verse 5 again. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us. Aren't you glad that he loved us? I said, aren't you glad that he loved us? I said, thank God there's nobody else can love you like Jesus. He's got an unconditional love for us. Now to him that agaped us. Now to him that loved us. Watch this. And washed us. Underline that word wash. It's the word luo. L-U-O. Luo. It means to release. He washed us from our sins. Look at this. In verse 5, the last part of it. He washed us from our sins. He didn't wash us in our sin. He washed us from our sin. I need somebody to help me there. I said he washed us from our sin. He didn't wash us in our sin. He said go and sin no more. The word is apo. He washed us from our sin. Oh, thank God he delivers us from the penalty of sin and the very power of sin. And one day, the presence of sin. Wait a minute, keep reading. He washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to be glory and dominion forever and ever. And the church said, amen. Look at verse 18. Jesus said, and back in verse 17, after John sees him, the glorified Christ, his hair is white as wool, his eyes are a flame of fire, out of his mouth comes a sound of many waters, his feet are like bronze, brass suspended in the oven. And notice, John falls as a dead man, and Jesus puts his hand on him. Look at verse 17, in the last part of it, he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. Verse 18, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. There's the title, I'm alive forevermore. I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell, Hades, and of death. This is the word of God. And all God's people said, amen. God bless it to our heart today. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I'm nothing but you're everything. And we're hungry and thirsty to see you in your glory and to just experience your resurrection power. We ask you, sweet dove of God, Holy Ghost of God, breathe life into us today. Bring those, Father, that need, Lord, that quickening, that, Father, exchange of the penalty of sin for your payment of sin. Oh, God, we pray today there'd be babies born in this place. There'd be those that would pass from death into life. There'd be those that would leave sin and come to you and forsake our life and trust in you. Thank you now for your word. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for your wisdom. And I ask you now again to anoint this place, the hearers, and the preaching of your word. And when all said and done, we'll give you the glory. We worship you. We thank you. I want to thank you first for cleansing me, and I ask you now for a fresh touch and a mighty cleansing in my own heart. And I love you, Jesus. Thank you for your great love. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray with thanksgiving for the lives that are being changed. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going. Number one, how can Jesus come alive in your heart? And the answer is understanding by his resurrection, we are changed and we come to life. Notice again, verse number 5. He said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I want you to pay special attention and underline that word, first begotten, and then underline the word washed. There are three extraordinary occurrences that took place when Jesus was resurrected from the dead. Do you know what they are? Number one, death was defeated. Death was defeated. I find that in verse 5, where the scripture says, and to him that loved us, he says, he's the first begotten of the dead. How many believe that Jesus gives us power over booze? Jesus gives us power over drugs? Come on, somebody talk to me. Jesus gives us power over the old lifestyle. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Is Jesus really alive in your life? How alive is he? Is he alive right now? Is he adequate tomorrow? Why, listen to me, beloved. We ought not to go to our job tomorrow with the mully grubs. We ought not to go to a job tomorrow and school tomorrow moaning and groaning. We ought to go to our jobs tomorrow with the glory of God on us and saying, hallelujah, I'm redeemed, and Jesus, I'm his. Amen and amen and amen. Well, that's what makes the difference. That's what changes our life. Death is defeated. Prototokos. Can I ask you a question? How many of you are afraid of dying? I ask you a question. How many of us are afraid of dying? I know none of us want to die, right? No, we don't want to really die, but it's going to happen. The writer of Hebrews said, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Paul wrote and said in Philippians 1 and 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Jesus said in John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. Isn't that good news that we will never die? Maybe physically, but praise God, not spiritually, nor will we ever die eternally. But wait a minute. Job said, if a man dies, will he live again? In Job 14:1. But he answered that question in Job 19:25 when he said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. He shall stand on the earth in the latter days. After my skin, worms destroy this body. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Oh, James said in James 4:14. He said, what is your life? It's but a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. How many know that life is short? How many know that eternity is long? How many know that eternity is too long to be wrong? Tell me, do you have that blessed assurance today? Tell me, are you afraid of dying today? Tell me, have you made peace with God today? Tell me, have you put your faith where God put our sins on Jesus? Are you trusting? Not in church membership, not in baptism, not in good works, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's our way to pass from this life unto life. Is Jesus alive in your life? Do others see Jesus in you? Is he sticking out? Can they tell the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we conduct our lives? Hey, listen, this is not a religious reaching up to God, but it's God in mercy reaching down to man. Can I tell you something? Death is real, isn't it? This week, right down the road. You all heard about it? Right down the road, the very end of the road. Two men were working on that roof down the road, and their aluminum ladder touched the electrical line, and it killed both of them instantly. Brother Kenneth Mason drove up right after it happened. I'm telling you, life is but a vapor. Ronnie's brother, Gary, has been here before. Gary, 50 years old, just Friday night, was shot and killed. Isn't that terrible? But what worse than that is dying and going to hell. I said what's worse than that is not being ready to meet God. We're not promised of tomorrow. How many know we're not promised of tomorrow? I'm telling you, death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. As a matter of fact, I'm looking around the crowd today. You know what? I thought about it. There's Bobby, Sister Bobby Bailey and her son Doug. And I'm looking around the crowd. Nancy was here a moment ago. I think she slipped out for children's church. But there's Ralph back there in the back. Guess who was with us last year at this time? I said, guess who was with us last year at this time? Brother Bill Bailey, sitting right over there. Guess who else was with us? Carolyn Askew, sitting right over there. Anybody know that they wouldn't be here this day? Did anybody know? No idea. Can you all hear me? I said, no idea that the Lord would call them home. There's no guarantee that any of us are going to be here next year this time. I believe the Lord's coming back again. The question is, are we ready to meet God? Have we made peace through the blood of his cross, therefore being justified by faith? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is real. But wait a minute, Jesus said, behold, I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Wait a minute, death was defeated. But there's a second part to this, and it's not only death was defeated, but number two, sin was overcome. Sin was overcome. And I get that in the verse number five. Now to him that loved us, and watch this, washed us. How many see the word wash? Let me see your hand. You see the word wash, you need to see it. Bring your Bible. It'll bless you. The word wash, again, is luo, L-U-O. It means to release. It means to loose. I want you to know when Jesus saves you, you're loose from the power of sin. I want you to know when Jesus, by his blood. And by the way, I talked with a young girl this week and her mama. Her mama can testify as here today. I asked her this question. She was asking about how could I get right with the Lord? How could I be saved? You know what I told her? I asked her this question. I said, have you ever been outside? I'm asking you. Have you ever been outside and you got your hands dirty? How many have ever been outside and you got your hands dirty? Wait a minute. You don't have to go outside to get your hands dirty. Hello, somebody talk to me. You can get them dirty inside. But what do? You go to a water spigot and you put soap and water on it, right? And you wash it off. But there's no soap and water that can take away our sin. Somebody talk to me. There's no soap and water, no Ajax, no bleach, no cleaner can clean away the stain of sin. It's only through the blood. It's only by the blood. But through the blood of Jesus, our sins are washed away. They're removed from us as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad, hallelujah, that my sins are forgiven and put in the depths of the sea. Are your sins forgiven today? Are you washed today? Are you glad you're washed today? You need to thank God you're washed today. You need to praise God that thank God our sins will God remember no more. Glory, glory, glory. Wait a minute. There's a third extraordinary occurrence we find in the text today. Death has been defeated. Sin has been overcome. Thirdly, Satan's back has been broken. Satan's back has been broken. I'll tell you what, the devil's the only one I know. Can you all hear me? The devil's the only one I know that don't have the key to his own house.
Oh, he's the only one I know that don't have the keto. You say, what does it mean, Brother Pastor? I mean this. I don't understand it, but I believe Jesus plunged down in the very depths of hell. Do you understand what it took place when he was crucified, when he hung on the cross, and when God the Father could not even look at his Son, and darkness filled the land, and the Father and the Son, as Jesus literally became sin for us, and Jesus cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? You understand, it was your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world. I'm guilty. I deserve death. I deserve hell. I deserve judgment. You deserve death. You deserve judgment. You deserve hell. But Jesus took our place. Jesus paid our penalty. Jesus was willing to become sin for us. You can't beat that kind of love. You can't beat it. But wait a minute. I think during that brief time and moment, the Lord must have plunged down into somehow, some way. Some suggest, scholars, he must have plunged in the very pits of hell. I don't know. I don't understand. But I know this. It could be in my sanctified imaginations. The Lord got the devil who had the keys to death. Death had ruled over the human race. The soul that sinned shall surely die. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I can imagine in my sanctified imagination, Jesus grabbed the keys from death and said, death and hell and the grave and Satan, you don't have the keys anymore to death. I've got the keys. I want you to know that, thank God, when my time comes and your time comes, we don't have to be afraid of dying. Oh, death, where is your sting? David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I'm glad he's got the key. I said, Jesus has got the key. I said over there in Revelation 1:18, he said, behold, I'm dead, but I'm alive forevermore. I hold the keys to death and hell. And thank God we can trust Jesus. He's got the keys to death and hell. He really does. He really does. I heard about a boy who was sitting on a bench one day. And man, he was distraught. He was red-faced. He was in pain. Somebody walked by him and saw him. He said, son, what in the world's wrong with you? Your face is red. You look like you're hurting. The boy said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. He said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. He said, what? He said, I'm sitting on a bumblebee. How many know what a bumblebee is? I'm sitting on a bumblebee. And the man said, well, why don't you get up off the bumblebee? The boy said, it's hurting him worse than it's hurting me. Can I tell you something? When Jesus went down in the grave, it hurt the devil a lot more than it hurt Jesus. I need somebody to help me there. I said he bruised him on his head. I said the devil bruised him on his heel. But Jesus broke the back of the devil. And he that had the power over death no longer has the power over death. I serve a risen Savior. My God's alive. He's conquered the grave. Death couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't contain him. Herod couldn't get rid of him. Up from the grave he arose. He still lives today. I said he still lives today. Do you know him? Are you walking with him? Is he alive in your life? I said, is he alive? Is he alive? He's alive. Yes, he's a living God. Alive forevermore. Alive forevermore. Number two, how can this living God, who we all attest, even the historians who are not believers, affirm, yea, confirm that he indeed had risen from the grave? Number two, how can we experience this new life? Not only by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, number two, notice, through the Lord Jesus. Look at chapter 2 and chapter 3 of the text of Revelation. John moves further into his particular letter. And you know what he does? He addresses seven churches. Look up on the screen. You'll see a map of these seven churches. We had the privilege of going to each one of these churches. Look in chapter 2 and verse number 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. He said, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, said, he that hear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh, to him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Look at verse 11. He that overcomes, the last part. part. Look at verse 17. Him that overcometh, the middle of that part, will I give to eat the hidden manna, and give a white stone, and in a stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. Look at verse number 26 of chapter 2. He that overcomes, Nike Christians, he that overcomes and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 5. He that overcomes, look at chapter 3 and verse 12. Him that overcomes, look at chapter 3 and verse number 21. Him that overcomes. These seven churches, if you'll notice on the screen, the church of Ephesus, a busy church but a backslidden church. The church of Smyrna, a pure church but a persecuted church. The church of Thyatira, a feminine church but a fruitful church. The church of Pergamos, a warm church but a worldly church. Jesus said that's the very Satan's throne in the church of Pergamos. But then he said the church of Sardis. He said it was a dead church, but it was a dutiful church. He said to the church of Philadelphia in chapter 3, Philadelphia, Philadelphos, brotherly love, by the shalom and know that you're my disciples, you have love one for another. He said, he that overcomes. And then chapter number 3 and verse 21, him that overcomes to the church of Laodicea, a Laodicean age. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this: Jesus comes alive. And this is what the Lord showed me. Three phases we all go through. Some of you right here today. First, there's the promise. Secondly, there's the problems. And thirdly, there's provisions. First, there's the promise. If you're a Christian today, how many of you are Christians? Raise your hand. If you know that you're saved, raise your hand. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. Today, you need to raise your hand. You need to be absolutely positive. Don't play with eternity. There's a way that seemed right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Boast not of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But wait a minute. How many are going through some kind of trial right now? Let me see your hand. You're going through some kind of trial. You're going through some kind of trouble. Don't lie about it. We're in church, amen. All of us are going through some kind of trouble or trial. First, God gives a promise. Y'all listen. If you're listening, say amen. First, God gives a promise. He tells us, I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. Abraham, 75 years old. I'm going to give you a land that's flowing full of milk and honey. And I'll give you a descendant, and they'll multiply more than the stars of heaven. Really? At 75? Well, 85 years old, Abraham still hadn't had the promise. First, the promise. Note this. Mark this. Understand this. Some of us right now are going through some problems, and you don't understand why you're going through the problems. You don't understand why you got the heartache. You don't understand why the tribulation. I've got news for you. Tribulation works with patience, and patience works experience, character, and character works hope. That's Romans chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. First, the promise. Abraham's 85. He had the promise at 75. Still no fulfillment. Abraham's 87. He's 88. He's 89. He's 90. Still no fulfillment. He's got the promise, but he's going through problems. Am I preaching to anybody today that's got some problems? Am I preaching to anybody that's not a self-righteous Pharisee that say, Pastor, I'm going through the trials and the tribulations. I'm going through the furnace of affliction. God gave you a promise, but the problems are going to happen. Hear me, church. The problems are going to happen. It's a test of our faith. It's where Jesus comes alive. Oh, glory be to God. The promise, the problems. Abraham's 91. Abraham's 92. Abraham's 93. Abraham's 94. Abraham's 95. 96, 97, 98, 99. Finally, the promise at 75. God brings the promise. The problems occur, but then comes the provision. I said, then comes the answer. I said, joy comes in the morning. I said, weeping men endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hang in there, child of God. I know you're going through trouble, but Jesus is the master of the storm. He walks on the water. He calms the storm. He's right now. Reach out to him now. Reach out to him now. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. Abraham finally got the provision. There's old the children of Israel. You're going to enter into Canaan. God gave it to Moses, 12 spies. 10 came back with a bad report. 2 didn't. Here's the promise. Well, they're not in the promised land. Matter of fact, they're wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. The promise. Then comes the problems. But then, thank God, under Joshua and Caleb, they enter in the promised land. Give me this mountain. I'm telling you this. Jesus comes alive in your life. How many know the Christian life is not always mountaintops? There's valleys. There's storms. Can anybody talk to me today that's in a storm? Can anybody say, Pastor, I'm right there, but praise God, I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. Oh yes, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee. The promise, the problems, then comes the provision. How many today would say, God, you gave me a promise. I know it's a promise. I know I'm in your will. But here's the problems, Lord. I can't wait to the provision. I know I'm going to get through this thing. I know my resurrected Lord is going to be able. Watch this. When you're going through a storm, it's when the world looks at you and says, is it real? There's a man sitting here right there today that sent me an email this week. He said, Pastor, something happened to me. I just want to give God glory. How many want to give God glory when He does something wonderful? He said, Pastor, I was behind on my house payment. He's helping out his children and grandchildren. He said, I was behind. I didn't know what I was going to do on my house payment. I had two men to tell me this week. Almost a similar exact same story. But he said, God answered prayer. How many believe that God answers prayer? Alive, alive. Our God's alive. And you know what he said? He said, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember all the facts, but I believe he said, my employer, not my employee, my employer gave me over $2,000. Somebody help me out. Over $2,000 to help me get caught up on my bills. I'd say that was a God thing. I'd say that was a mountain move. I'd say that was God providing. Oh yes, if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him? By Him, Jesus is alive. Through Him, we experience troubles and trials. Had we not known about storms, we wouldn't know about His grace. Somebody talk to me. Oh, if we hadn't known about the troubles in life, we wouldn't know that our God's grace is sufficient. Somebody needs to say, I'm trusting Jesus. I don't see my way clear, but God gave me a promise. I'm believing there's problems, but God's going to bring me through. Is there any saints of God today? Is the redeemed of God today here today that says, bless God, though the devil brings a storm, I'm going to trust God. Amen. Oh yeah. Number three. We got to be done here in a moment. By Him, the resurrected Lord, our new life. And through Him, then unto Him. We don't have time, but if I could summarize chapter 4 and 5 of the book of Revelation, you know what you find? John says, after this, chapter 4, verse 1, after this, after what? The church age. Seven churches. We just read about those. After this, meta tota is the word. Meta tota. After this, I'm believing John had a vision. John said, I saw heaven open, behold a door, and I heard as it were a voice, a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up hither. And immediately I was in the spirit. What happened? John is raptured up in heaven. It's a beautiful picture of the church. Folks, I've got news for you. God said He's coming back. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'll send my spirit to be with you in and upon you. And I'm telling you, I'm waiting for the trumpet to sound. One day the Father's going to say, son, go get your bride. I'm telling you this. As in Revelation, God is on His throne. The emerald rainbow circles round about the throne. And before the throne, the four of the 20 elders fall down, worshiping this God who's worthy to be worshiped. And then all of creation says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. We turn to chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, and we find there's no one worthy to open this book and seals. Nobody on earth. And the angel and all of the redeemed wept. But wait a minute. There was one from the tribe of Judah. I said, there's one from the root of David. There's one who's worthy to open the book and the scroll thereof. And the Father gives it to the Son. And the Son takes the scroll. And all of heaven, listen to me, when we get to glory, you know what we're going to do? We're going to praise God throughout all eternity. All of heaven is singing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. I'll tell you, we might as well learn to praise God right now. If we don't learn to praise God now, we're going to have a heart attack when we get to heaven. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sin killer. The devil defier. The mountain mover. Jesus come alive in me now. Jesus be Jesus in me. Unto Him. And then last but not least, with Him. If you looked in Revelation chapter 19, chapter 20, chapter 21 and 22 with him, I just described to you what John saw. He said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. He hath a name no man knew save himself. He hath a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Wait a minute. I like that next part, verse 14. And I saw the armies which were in heaven followed him on white horses. Oh, I saw the armies. How many want to ride a white horse one day? Yes, Lord. Somebody said, you're going to have to clean out the stalls if there's horses in heaven, all right? I don't know about that. But he said, I saw heaven, and behold, he said, I saw the armies which followed him on white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. That is the righteousness of the saints. He's coming, and the rapture is coming. First, we're with him now on earth. Secondly, we're with him in the air. Thirdly, we're with him over there. How many believe that old song? I know there's somebody in here believes that old song. Everybody will be happy over there. Everybody will be happy over there. Say it with me. Everybody will be happy over there. Say it again. Everybody will be happy over there. Wait a minute. I've got to close. Alive. Alive. Alive forevermore. I don't know this for a fact, but I've been told. How many like to go to a restaurant? Let me see your hand. I've been to a restaurant and I tried it. They say, notice I say they say, that if you go to a restaurant and when you finish your meal, like some of us will do today, you finish your meal, if you wad up your napkin, throw it on the table, and you leave, say, to go to the restroom, the waitress will come back with that napkin wobbled up and say, they're finished, I'll take the plate. But on the other hand, if you are not finished with your plate and you got to say, get up for a moment, use the restroom, answer the phone, whatever, and you fold your napkin, and put it on the plate and you leave, the waitress or waiter will come and see that the napkin has been folded, indicating they'll be back. They'll be back. They'll return. They'll be back. You don't get it. I want you to know on the resurrection morning, in John chapter 20, there comes Peter and John to the tomb. And John and Peter, John's faster than Peter. John outruns Peter. Can you see him running to the tomb? Mary said he's not there. Then they go to the tomb, a foot race. Peter and John. John beats him in the tomb and he looks in and he stoops down. And you know what he sees? You check it out in John 20 and verse 7. He saw the face cloth, the napkin, yea, the sweat rag. It was folded up and the grave clothes were there. John saw the grave clothes lying where Jesus had got up from the grave. He saw the napkin folded. Jesus was telling them, I'm coming back. I'll be back. This is not the end. I'm going to see you again. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? He's coming back again. Amen and amen and amen. And now I'm going to close on this. I'm looking forward to him coming. This past Friday, within rock throwing distance, if you got a good arm, all right, from where we're at, the end of the road, you go to the end of the road, you see that big white house. A lot of history there, I don't have time to go into it. The Aaron family who gave land and then lived there, they're buried in this. What a vision this family had. Oh, bless God. $1,500 he gave in 1874 for a church. He saw a vision. Hallelujah for men who have vision. Oh, God bless our Lord. But wait a minute. That day, Friday, around 2 o'clock, two men were working on the roof. And they had a aluminum ladder. And they were putting the roof on. I've ridden by there many times. Said, Lord, I'm going to stop and talk with them. They're busy on the roof. And I just didn't stop with them busy working. At any rate, the ladder got away from one of them, evidently. There's power lines right up above them. I went by after it happened. As I said, Brother Kenneth drove up right after it happened. And it electrocuted. It killed both of them instantly. But wait a minute. The Lord spoke my heart this morning. Listen. When I went by, the owner of the house, Bubba Edmondson, told me this. And I think Brother Kenneth also affirmed it. Here was a daddy. Here was a father. And here was a son working together. And the father and the son was holding on to his dad. Holding on to his dad. God began to speak my heart this morning about this. How many daddies do we have here today? How many daddies do we have here today? How many mamas do we have here today? How many grandparents do we have here today? How many grandmothers and grandfathers and brothers and sisters? Our children, like that son, was holding on to his daddy. How many know that your children are holding on to you? Your children and my children are holding on. The daddy and mama, they're watching our lifestyle. They're watching grandpa and grandma. I begin to think about it. How many friends are holding on to you? What do they see in you? What do they see in me? God, help us to keep running the race. God, help us to keep fighting the good fight of faith. God, help us not to go AWOL. God, help us as parents and men and brothers and sisters and families today to hold on to Jesus as your children are holding on to you. They're watching you. They're watching me. Let's point them to Jesus. How many daddies and mamas would you send together today? Would you meet me right?